Welcome to episode 4 of Keep On Cybertrucking. I'm Eric. We're here with William and Chase. Hello, guys. How was How was your week?
Really good. Really good. Really relaxing.
Well, you were just telling us that you made a big purchase on the Tesla store. Why don't you tell us about that, William?
Oh yeah, I have Tesla Solar, so I have the Energy Gateway, and I already have a wall connector. But because we bought the Cybertruck, they fast tracked me, and they just said, "Okay, we don't need to do any additional hardware install. So instead, here's a voucher that you can." Basically, it's a $700 voucher and the universal wall charger that you're promised as a part of the Cybertruck Foundation series is like $620, I think, here in California, on the California Tesla shop. So I was like, $620, and it's not like it's going to give me change. And I'm like, what else can I order from here? So that Cybertruck whistle was in stock, so I went ahead and ordered that thing.
you've been waiting for that to go back in stock, right?
Oh man, I was just like clicking it, just repeatedly.
refresh.
Email. I need something to just assault my ears at home all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like the Molly panels, there's like the touts, all that. Just give me the whistle.
No.
Where I is want
it?
The whistle.
Honestly, it was like a weird price spot where I was like, I am not buying any t-shirts or jackets or anything like that. So I'm like, what else is on there for like that $70 or $80 gap? And I went through and I'm like, the cyber whistle. I'm like, that's the dumbest possible thing. I mean, they gave me the voucher for it, so I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get the cyber whistle.
Okay. It's interesting because I recently, I think it was just before last episode that I had mentioned about the power share, where I had told my electrician that, hey, we're just going to wait. The electrician had canceled, and then I got an email from Tesla that gave us the same $700 credit. Now, I'm not really sure if that makes up any difference, because our situation was that we're not getting the power share, and that was their difference, which doesn't make any sense, because the hardware just to get the power share is not $700. Like, it's no. You can get the wall connector, but you still need the gateway for like another.
Oh, that's a good point. So maybe that's just like the concession where it's like, well, you know, we're still figuring out the power share stuff, but mm-hmm. we do owe you a wall charger as per the Foundation series. So
exactly.
That here's a voucher, and maybe you won't remember that we technically owe you more than that.
or that they gave $4,000 credits to only the Cyber Beast, but who's uh-huh. paying attention to that?
You know, Chase has mentioned that a few times. I think.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
a little sore.
I can give it. I can give the pass that like the Cyber Beast is the only one that's going to get the front like light rail at the top. Like I'll give that a pass. Like that's okay. You got to give some kind of like cool factor to the Cyber Beast, but when we're both paying $20,000 extra, and one is getting $4,000 worth of credit, and one is not. That's a big difference for not much different. Like, we're not buying different hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're spending more money for more car, and they're also paying the $20,000 premium. So,
yeah, I don't know. It's still bitter, but we'll see what happens.
We couldn't tell, Chase. We couldn't tell.
There's still so many things that are up in the air, and it's like we're seeing so many photos of parking lots filled with Cybertrucks that I'm like, all right, like where are we in this whole Foundation series? Like, there's like 400 Cybertrucks sitting in a lot in Texas, and you know, two rows or like 20 or 25 up in Paramus, New Jersey. I'm like, what's happening?
I said before, I think someone needs to go either sneak onto the property or put a drone, and not just to go and look, but go and look for how many Foundation Series logos are on those trucks.
Yes.
At a certain point, they're not going to have that logo. That's probably the only tell.
But do you think that would we hear from people though first, being like, "Hey, I was invited to configure, and it's not
probably
a Foundation Series." I feel like that's going to be the you know, the Harkin Bell first. But
yeah, I think you're right.
Well, like we always talk about, the community, the owners are the PR and are the outlet, right, for Tesla. And so that's what's going to happen, in my opinion, is someone is going to get that email. They're going to go to configure, and they're going to have the option to add the Foundation. And that's how we're going to find out. It's not going to be announced. They're not telling us anything.
Which is a good point, because we just saw for the first time this week 7,000 series VIN numbers go out, which is pretty big.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's effectively what we're in late March, and that's where they are in production. That's pretty solid.
That's well, and I'll eat my words because I was saying that I didn't think that they were gonna get up to 20,000 this year, just based off of the rate of slow ramp. But seeing 1,000 just in a week, that's a big change. So I think we might actually hit 50,000 trucks this year.
Well, right here, I mean, it's showing that it says Cybertruck production continues, obvious ramp up, possibly near 900 to 1,000 weekly rate now. So, and then here's some talking about drone footage.
Which here's some drones. What's the math of that, though? So they're wanting to get to 200,000 a year.
Yeah.
So that's like, going to be roughly 3,800.
I was figuring if they're at 1,000 a week, that's roughly, back the envelope, 52,000 Cybertrucks a year, which we were already kind of toying with the idea of, oh, are they only going to be able to do 24,000 in the first year? Like, what are the limiting factors? It seems to be none, because now they're just cranking them out like crazy. So,
right.
Is it 52,000, and can they hit 200 or 125,000 by the end of this year? Is it possible?
And it brings into question the quality. We just saw a story in Discord just this week, or just today actually, of someone who went to go pick up their truck that showed up for the delivery, and they were told, sorry, we're missing a part that we need to fix your truck before we can give it to you. We'll contact you. That's kind of telling there that, like, I would be fearful that if they ramped up too fast, the quality is just going to just implode. But we'll see how well they can keep it up.
My tinfoil hat read that story as the service guys backed into it.
Yeah.
They just messed up the truck because they reassigned him a new VIN and all of that stuff. Like, if it was a fix and it was his VIN and it had just been a whoopsie QC thing, I feel like that would have been like, okay, we'll just, we'll fix the panel. You can take delivery, but we'll immediately put it in the shop to get it fixed if that's okay with you. But the fact that they, like, yanked his VIN and gave him a new one and a whole new timeline and stuff, I'm thinking that vehicle is probably evidence of insurance right now.
Right. Look at all those pull-through chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, where is this, anyways? This is at their factory, right? And it's.
I think this is actually across the street. If you pull it up on Google Maps, there is a facility across the street from the main Gigafactory that they've been staging a lot of these, and I believe that's it.
Okay.
I'm the token Austin expert.
Rightly so. We implanted you in Austin for this reason.
I've driven past it a couple times. Yeah, it's basically just a bunch of like shipping containers and parking lot. But yeah, it's a giant like space across the street from the Gigafactory. Or no, actually, I take it back. That might be behind the factory that I'm looking at. I'm looking at the satellite imagery here.
Yeah. So like on this topic, guys, we have Ken in the chat that's asking about. Gosh. Exactly what we're talking about. His question is, do we have an idea of how many foundation series they plan to make before non-foundation series? And then he goes on to say, I've been sitting on my invitation to order for about 6 weeks. And that's where I get frustrated is that, the fact that they don't tell people like where they're at and what they're thinking. Because you have people like Ken who want to place their order, yet there's no transparency. He doesn't know when he can place his order. And you got to think of it as well, is that people line things up as far as they have other vehicles, they have leases, purchases, they got to sell a vehicle, whatever the case may be. And they're in la-la land, they're just like in, purgatory of just, I don't know when I can... sell this vehicle. I may sell it early, and
that's a big thing. And now you're telling me July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a difference of $20,000. Like that's a whole nother car right there. That's a big difference of decision-making. And I think that was, and I mentioned it before early in the podcast of I was trying to figure out if driving our truck with like a day rental would sell me on that. And I think 80,000 for sure, it would sell me 100%, but 100,000—it's a harder sell. I think those extras are needed for that. But I guess we'll see too how full self-driving pans out with later in the year.
I think also we're at an interesting point in the cycle that kind of we're grasping at straws to figure out what the value necessary. Like, we obviously chose to accept what the value was for the Foundation series, but for the people who are still, you know, like our person in the chat, it's like, am I soon to be losing out on an opportunity that's going to mean something in the long term ownership of this vehicle, or is it one of those like, okay, you know, we've seen Tesla pull the wool over our eyes before. Maybe this Foundation series thing isn't substantiated, which, you know, has some weight to it. I just imagine also it's got more questions to it, you know, being my main thing of what's FSD gonna cost pretty soon, because we're seeing, I feel like I've driven a Tesla with full self-driving at least purchased since 2017, and the advances that they're making are leaps and bounds, but the way that they have rolled things into people's hands is so fumbled and whatnot. I have never seen them this aggressive with doing the whole, hey, we're going to give literally everybody a month trial. Everybody, yeah, when you get a new Tesla, you have to do a demo where at least the delivery associate sees that you activate FSD at least once. Like, I feel like they are circling the wagons on something when it comes to FSD. At least, yeah, as far as the company's concerned. I don't think that they're necessarily going to be like, oh, by the way, guys, we totally hit level 4 autonomy. We just need to flip the switch. I think they're going to get ready to start, you know, delivering some news about the cost of FSD.
I think you're right. And I think when we heard early talks of people inside saying it's close, they weren't meaning it's close for Cybertruck. I think they were meaning it's close for all of full self-driving.
Yeah.
Getting out of beta, going full release.
So Jay Song, who was a commenter, I believe, on our last podcast, he was the one talking about the delays in his delivery, and kept getting delays. And I know in one of my videos I posted this week, he messaged me and he was stating how they've canceled or they've rescheduled him 4 times. Okay, so he's leaving me some information. He's in the chat right now, and he's saying that the first delivery was supposed to be on March 11th. They canceled or they rescheduled on him 4 hours prior to the time, which, no. The second delivery attempt was 9 days later on March 20th. Same thing. They rescheduled on him 4 hours prior. And then they rescheduled for 3 days after that, March 23rd. They canceled on him, or they rescheduled on him. And then finally, he was able to take delivery yesterday, but he says that they were an hour late in getting him the vehicle.
Huh.
And he says also that it didn't come with the sunshade, the roof sunshade,
okay.
And it didn't come with the J1772 adapter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if they're sunsetting that now that NACS is... Although that would still be foolish. I mean...
Yeah, it just seems like he had a nightmare of a situation.
Still in the chat, do you mind telling us your general location? Because if there's a certain service center that's having issues, it would be interesting to know if it's located to one location.
I'm asking him right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. I mean, but that, it kind of goes back to the same point we were just talking about, is if you're sitting, I'm just going to pick a random state that I know that's probably not getting, you know, delivered to yet. Like Idaho. I have a reservation in Idaho. I'm pretty sure none has gone to Boise or anywhere in that direction yet, but you never know. It's you don't know if you're going to get the chance to get a Foundation series, or if they're going to call and you just have the base, or when they do call, are you going to have the option to go either or? You know, there's so many questions that they don't have answers for just yet. I would assume that would be an option. If you could upgrade to the Foundation series and pay the extra premium, that might be the way to go, or they just cut it off completely. They're just like, okay, no more. We cut it off at whatever 10,000, 20,000, however many units they decide, and say that's good.
He says that it was the Long Beach location here in California.
Interesting.
I know that there's somebody in the Tesla Discord who also had a similar, like, they were called, they went in for the truck, and then there was a part missing or something like that. That was another story. I think it's a Discord user had mentioned it in our group, in the actual Cybertruck channel. It's apparently some high voltage cover in the bed said was missing, but then they can't give him an ETA, and then they reassigned him another VIN number. From like he was like 3,000s, and then he went up to 5,500s.
Well, I think it's a good conversation. Let me ask you guys. I'm not sure if we've addressed this on a podcast yet, but I know, you know, we talk a lot in chat. Why don't you guys talk about any issues that you guys had at delivery? Whether, you know, I know Chase didn't have any rust, you know, but yeah. I seriously, like, so yesterday when I went to that production that I was at, that they used my Cybertruck, they asked me, so is the rust real? And I rolled my eyes and I'm like, you know, it depends on who's telling you, you know, if they want you to think that it's real. But yeah, so I know Jay's had a nightmare over here with his Cybertruck. Did you guys have any issues? Anything that you had to take it back in to Tesla for service or not? Because I know for me, I had the issue with the dome light.
Oh, yeah.
And also my mirror. And I don't know if I told you guys, but I took it in. They ordered a whole new headliner, new visor. They ordered everything. They didn't even look at my truck yet. You know, they didn't even look at it. They just ordered everything. And then when I took it into service, they told me when I picked it up, oh, it just wasn't plugged in. You know, so literally it left, you know, Texas, and they just didn't plug it in.
Yeah.
And it happens. I know it happens, but still, that's probably, I had that, and then I had scratches on my stainless steel, but I think that had to do more with transport than the actual factory.
Well, I mean, I still have not received, Chase, I think you're muted. I still haven't received absolutely zero indication about when I might receive aero caps.
Same.
And then I don't think I had anything missing that they felt like they owed me. I mean, aside from the other stuff that I thought that when I would pick up the truck, they'd be like, oh yeah, by the way, here's your wall charger, and here's some of the other equipment that was promised to you, or something like that. And it just kind of seemed like, you know, here's your car. Just drive it out the back. See you later. And so... I mean, which I was fine with, because I had seen some of the videos of other people's deliveries where, you know, they had smoke machines and music and, you know, dancers coming out. And I'm just like, no, just let me leave. So,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't have anything that was missing along those lines, I think. I do have one, like, nagging silly thing to kind of go along with your dome light, is that my keycap for my driver's side window has now popped completely off the door, so now I have to like push it back in and then just hold it at just the right angle to roll the window back up, but otherwise it just pops right out in your hands. And that was one of those things that when I was at the service for the exterior a few weeks ago, they were like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll fix that. And then later on they pointed out, like, no, we actually don't know how to fix that, we don't have parts for it, so we ordered the part for you though. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I guess my window, it's like these tiniest little like weird paper cuts. It's like, oh, the window is just gonna be hanging out. Okay, great.
Yeah, I feel fortunate in that sense, because like our delivery was pretty smooth. I mean, there wasn't any kind of like bells or whistles. The only thing they did essentially, they drove it around and pulled it up outside, and then had us go outside to see it, and they had like my name on a little placard in the dash. And that was cool, and then basically they just walked us through it. I didn't have anything that was weird as far as like any issues, except for they really had no answer for the aero caps as well. They were just like, they'll come later, they've been recalled, and they just went went through that, and I kind of expected, I was like, I would expect like a bunch of like accessories still in boxes, like in the bed, and really the only thing that was added extra was like the non-weather liner mats that we got.
Yes, that's right. I remember I got those too.
Yeah. So those are just sitting in the garage now to get the space. But yeah, it was really fortunate. And then it's probably a great segue of what happened with me this week is that I thought I had a really big issue. And you guys know, after this weekend, we went to NASCAR at COTA, which is a great time. Seeing just an aside, seeing NASCARs go around a track that was designed for Formula One is bonkers. It's awesome. We went to NASCAR COTA, and after we came back, it was also around the same time that we could probably talk about it. The update went out this week. We got some really cool updates that we talked about in the last podcast, as well as full self-driving is starting to trickle out to some Cybertrucks. So the update happened, and I noticed that there was a ringing sound. Like it was quite audible, and it was a problem. Like it was not normal, and it wasn't like the engine was whining or anything. But and then I did some sleuthing and tried to figure out what was going on. I found out in 2022, apparently there was an issue with Tesla's having this like whine issue, and it sounded exactly what I was hearing. So I was almost certain that okay, something's wrong. This update is probably like tipped off something. But the weirdest thing is that when I would like make a noise in the cabin, the ringing would go away temporarily and then come back on. And then I even try to reset and reboot. I let it sleep. And then there was at one point, like I had got into it right as it like woken up and it wasn't ringing. And then when I drove around the corner, it started ringing again. And I thought it was maybe it connects to the regeneration. I just like couldn't figure out what was going on. Turns out when I looked into the center console, I still had some electronic ear pro that were turned on all the way up with the volume up, that basically the ear pro were reverberating itself, so any kind of audio in the cabin was getting reverberated and it was just ringing the entire time. So it was a fun little text that I had with Tesla's, you know, service techs. I literally sent him a picture through the app. He was like, "Hey, I'm the dummy. Here you go. This is the cause of the ringing that I'm noticing." No, no worries there. So, I was worried that it was going to be like a big thing that we'd have to like get everyone involved, and it just turned out to be just an ID10T error, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. No. It's Yeah, when you were sending that to us, yeah, I was kind of like, what the heck? I was worried that it was going to be something bigger, but yeah, luckily it wasn't that.
It was good.
Yeah, it was nothing bad, too bad.
Because the day after I had an event that we had to go to, so people were going to be seeing the truck, and I'm like, man, this is going to be embarrassing to have like people in the truck, and they're like, what's that ringing sound? Oh, and then there's another video being shot this weekend. There's a lot of really fun stuff coming up. So yeah, I was really kind of concerned. Like, this is not good.
Well, speaking of events, I know you shared something with us. I want to see if you want to talk about it.
Sure. Yeah. I think you talked about. Oh yeah, yeah. So this weekend, we actually just talked to them yesterday and got full confirmation that we're going to be the lead Cybertruck in this next Austin Grand Tour.
Nice.
So you probably saw some social media for the last one that they did, where they had a nice little fleet of Cybertrucks. I believe they have a video from there. If you go back a couple of posts, they have where they shot some footage from the last one they did. But essentially, it's basic idea of just getting a bunch of supercars together, and then, you know, taking a nice little cruise around. Yeah, if you go to the Exotic Network, if you go to their page. Yeah, they have a video that shows, if you scroll down, I think it's right there in the middle bottom, Austin, Texas. Yeah, that one. This was from the last event where they had, I think, 5 Cybertrucks total.
Mm.
And this was the first time they did it where they decided that they wanted the Cybertrucks to be the quote-unquote media trucks, because typically they have trucks that will drive in the front of the pack, and you can see in some of the shots there where they have like a bunch of photographers sitting in the bed, so they're getting really cool shots of all the supercars behind them coming up.
Makes sense.
So yeah, they're wanting to do that same thing again. We've got 3 Cybertrucks, including ours, that it's locked in for this next driver out. I think that event was pretty big. I think they only almost had like 200 supercars, but this one's going to be about 100 because we're going to go through some of the hill country, so it's going to be a little bit tighter. So they wanted a little bit smaller of a pack, but it'll be a lot of fun. Get to see some cool cars, some cool people.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. You got to take a lot of video and share that with us next week.
Photographers and some drone pilots riding along with me.
are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're saying that they're going to be filming everybody else, right?
Yep. That's kind of the benefit. Is like I've got four seats in our Cybertruck, so I've got four seats in the back that people can sit and ride along with, as well as people in the bed that will be like strapped to the bed for safety to get some good photography out there. Yeah,
that's cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, and we've got mobile power in the truck, so everybody can watch monitors and stuff. Exactly. That's pretty clutch.
Hell yeah. Which I did that today, actually. So my in-laws came in, and my father-in-law was like, hey, do you have a compressor? I'm like, well, I do. unfortunately, I don't have a Rivian that has one built into the bed.
Yeah.
I have one that it's a mobile compressor, so I literally just put it up on the tailgate and then plugged it into the back of the truck, and here you go. Tear up a tire.
Well, for that production that I used, that I was at yesterday, they put lights underneath my like strips of LED lights underneath the truck, and then they're like, mm-hmm. "Hey, is there an outlet or something that we can plug into?" And I said, "Sure is." And I opened up the back, and here you go. And yeah, they were able to plug right in. Yeah, that's super convenient. And the gentleman that was doing that, he was shocked that there was the 240.
Yeah.
He looked at it and he was like, "Wow, that's super cool." And I go, "Yeah, I use it for my trailer. It's mm-hmm. it's great." So
I think that's the best part of it.
Yeah, for film technicians, some of the lights are natively 220 or 240 volts. So I'm sure he was like, "Oh, wow, you could put like a real ballast and a real big light in this thing and drive it around." That's really an impressive thing. I think that people, it's easy to understate that, but I'm sure the film nerds would be like, "That's awesome."
I just think it's cool. You're able to power your RV trailer off of it. Like if you could go off grid as long as you have enough juice, go camping for the night. If not a couple of nights,
And that's actually something I need to do. I need to do that for my channel. I need to go out, even if I'm at a campsite, but where I just go, I'm not plugging into the SurePower. I'm plugging solely into the Cybertruck, and let's see how long this will last.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm there. There's going to be power there. So if the Cybertruck gets to a certain point where I go, okay, I'm at 5%. Okay, you can unplug it, plug the trailer into the SurePower, and I can go find a supercharger somewhere. So
curious about how that's going to work with overnight as well, because I don't know if you noticed that there's a setting in the UI that you can allow the back plugs from the bed to stay on for 12 hours at a time.
Yep.
And I'm assuming it's part of that. So you would say, all right, 9, 10 o'clock, we're ready to hit the hay, get into the RV. You'd plug the RV, turn it on, and then set that 12 hours so that you have until 9 a.m. until it automatically shuts off. So I'm curious about how that works and how, if it's like, it does it feel like a hindrance or if it's just natural. And then I would maybe only add, maybe do, take a trip that's long enough where you at least have to do one charge on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a one charge there, one charge back.
Yeah.
Just to see how it goes.
No, I definitely need to do that. That's something that's high on my list of taking it out and just kind of pretty much depleting the battery of the Cybertruck and see how long I can power the trailer.
Well, they did say when they talked about PowerShare that you could supposedly power your house off of the truck for 3 days.
Yeah.
So that's the timeline I've heard. So I would assume the RV is going to take less power than that.
I would think that if you could power your house, and when they say that, they're talking about air conditioning as well, right? Mm-hmm. And it, everybody's house is different, usage is different, condensers are everything's different, right? But I'm sure they've done enough research, or I'm hoping they've done enough research to put out, those numbers that are.
I'm sure it's based on just well-established averages where they're like,
exactly.
Okay, the average American household
consumes
47 kilowatt hours per hour period.
So we can get 3 days. And so, I mean, RV is not going to do that. So you would think, yeah, you could probably go, if I had to guess, at least 4 or 5 days, maybe a week. But there's only one way to find out. So
you've got me tempted because I want to go rent an RV trailer and test this out as well. Because I just found out that there's an off-road park that's fairly close to us. It's only like 35 minutes away. That they have some really, really great off-road trails in the hill country, but also like plenty of like camping and the primitive stuff that I would definitely love to give that a shot.
You have a truck. Take it out there.
If only
you gave me the idea. Now I want to, like, because I'm in not far over like 200 miles from Vegas, but yeah, all up in Dumont at the Dumont Dunes. Mm-hmm. They got some really cool like sand dunes out there. I've been out there for car commercials and stuff, and I'm like, ooh, my truck would look real nice out there. Mm.
Okay, well, speaking about sand, yesterday part of the production we went to Venice Beach, okay, and they put my truck out in the sand, and I told the guy, "I go, I'm really nervous because this is a big, heavy truck." And this sand, because I stepped in it first, and I go, "This is soft sand." And he goes, "No, I think you're okay." Okay. Sure enough, I got stuck.
Yep.
I got stuck, and I was flooring it, and I wasn't going anywhere. Luckily, I threw it in reverse, and I started moving my tires.
Yep.
And I was able to get myself out. But for a second there, I was like, I'm not getting out of this. This is...
I've worked up in Palmdale so many times, and I've never done it prior to moving to California, and now I'm every time somebody gets stuck, I'm like used to it by now. I'm like, all right, let's get some rocks, get some wood, put them under the wheels, and tell the driver, be like, if this thing starts moving, just floor it and just keep going. You're not stop. Stopping is death. Just keep going, and 100%. You get the cars out, but everybody always misjudges the soft sand of Southern California. It eats cars everywhere.
Yep, and I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. I just, they're telling me to do it. They're paying me, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we'll see how this goes.
I'll get my car stuck over there. I'll go anywhere you want. You're on the clock, boss.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually shocked that Tesla didn't already program in some sort of bounce mode like the GLE, the Mercedes GLE. Yeah. They have like it hops to get it stuck, unstuck from sand in those kind of situations. But I mean, I feel like that would be easy with maybe the air suspension is not that responsive where they could get it to hop fast enough. Maybe, I don't know, but it would be curious to see.
Did you put it when you were stuck in the beach in Venice? Did you put it into the off road mode to like try to go to a track and everything? And
I put it in Baja mode.
There you go.
Yeah, I put it in Baja mode. So we have a question. Someone's asking, are you guys planning on getting the range extender?
At this point, I don't have any interest in it. I mean, I can appreciate the people who have it and the plans that they have for it, but the range that the Cybertruck has right now for the all-wheel drive, Edmunds verified it at 334 miles in my truck without the aero caps. I'm like, I'm fine with that. I don't need it because I want that dead space. I want the space that I paid for with the car.
Yeah. I have kind of the same sentiment. Like 310 is totally fine for me, what I need. Even long range. I feel like where the range extender might excel is possibly two fronts. A, with towing. I think if someone's doing a lot of long range towing, that's definitely going to be something you want to add in. But I can also see it if someone's using it as a work truck to toss the extender onto the single motor when they start making those. Because at that point, your single motor is going to be 50,000. How much is the extender now? Like 5,000? What was it?
No,
it was.
They're saying 16,000, isn't it?
16. Okay, yeah. So 50 plus 16, 66 for a work truck with a better range. I think that would make more sense with a single motor.
Yeah, I didn't put the $500 down when I configured to get it because I just went, I don't know if I'm gonna need it, but I think I'm gonna get it. I don't want to lose the bed space. I'm with Will on that. I don't want to lose the bed space, but because I tow and I go on
see the difference.
Yeah, road trips and stuff. I think I need it.
And I think that's actually, and this is something that being a Tesla owner for this long, this I feel like is going to be an interesting, I feel, you know, like 4, 5 or 6 years ago when Tesla heard, okay, cool, you know, some people are interested in off-roading, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of talk about towing. That's one of those situations where I feel like Tesla in 6 months will start to say, hey, by the way, guys, we've been working on the software. We've come up with some really impressive efficiency improvements. So now the tow mode actually, you know, as long as we've optimized the way that the motors work together and we've maximized the kilowatt hour, the amount of energy it takes to move it plus what we advertise you guys tow, and then manage to eke out another 20 miles onto it. It may not seem a whole lot, but I feel like this is kind of one of those areas where Tesla does kind of sneak up on everyone and be like, oh yeah, by the way, we also write some cool software when we have the chance. Here's some improvements. Nobody even has to pay for it. It's just in the update. Here's a brand new tow mode that just annihilates it or whatever. Yeah. I mean, and it's a low bar to beat. I mean, what was it? The Ford F-150 was the one that was that one 90 miles on that on the test that they did?
I don't think so. I just remember 90 was the Cybertruck at worst case conditions, like max capacity in 30 degrees was 90.
It's winter and it's just everything's against them. And it's like all of them, but all of them seemed like they were in that 90, 110 mile range, all within close proximity. And I just feel like it's one of those areas where if somebody is usually smart at Tesla, they're going to be like, I wonder if we can dig into this. If there's concessions we can make to the driving style, because you're already towing something, maybe we can give them some of that energy back. I bet you we can do it. Let's figure that out. Somewhere down the road, they're like, hey, by the way, everybody, we fixed this. You didn't miss.
Yeah, I think the range alone outside of towing is going to get improved just with software updates. The batteries are so new to them, you know, and they haven't refined it quite yet.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe they have and they just haven't pushed it out yet.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to help. And then obviously that's going to help with towing range. And then exactly what you're saying, I think as more features come out for the truck, they're going to really improve the towing experience and just the whole truck experience.
Yeah.
These are 48 volt batteries now too. That's going to bring a lot more improvements over time. I think we'll see even faster supercharging than we do now.
Yes.
At least by double. So, I mean, being able to, like, charge this thing up to full within 15 minutes would be crazy. So, like, at that point, it's like the range is not even going to become an issue. It's really just going to come down to the infrastructure.
Yeah. I've argued for a long time. I still think that it's like when people talk about range anxiety, the real translation is they're worried about charging anxiety. They're not worried about the fact that the car can't go infinite miles. They're worried that when it's empty, they're going to have to sit around for 3 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours to wait for it to get full again. So, yeah, if you had it that simple where you just pull over, bzz, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, however long it takes to grab a coffee, use a restroom, I think that that's going to be like, oh, they can do that now? And then, like, all bets are off.
It's faster than you can pump up a full diesel truck.
Yeah.
You know, just think of the time to pump.
Well, speaking about diesel trucks, I don't know if you guys watched my video, but I got rid of my diesel.
Really?
I didn't see this.
Yeah.
Going all in. Didn't
I that's exactly what I said in my video. I'm going all in. I'm going all in.
Awesome.
I'm pushing all the chips to the center of the table and going, hey, I'm there, Elon.
I did see the 20 things you don't like about the truck. I did see that this week, but it was a great video, by the way. But yeah, I
thank
didn't
you.
See that.
That's yeah, funny. At the very end of that video, I talk about how I got rid of. And then here's another interesting thing. Okay. So I got rid of it, and because my wife we're looking to sell our Model S, and my wife was looking at different cars, and she didn't know what she wanted, but she's always loved the Jeep Wranglers. She's always loved them. And so I said, okay, well, let's go look at them. And that's when I traded in my truck. I got her the Jeep Wrangler 4xe, so it's the hybrid. That thing has a 17.3 kilowatt hour battery. Now, I'm using level one charging on it, but it takes 14 hours to charge that little 17.3 that gives her 22 miles. It's crazy how slow. I haven't charged on a level one charger in forever. Yeah. And so I
feel like a lot of these cars, like their vampire drain exceeds level one charging.
Yeah. And that's the reason why also PowerShare hardware is important to me, because it has that J1772 adapter to it. Uh-huh. And I know my wife was playing with the idea of getting, she really liked also the Cadillac Lyric. So she was really leaning towards that. And because it has that J1772 outlet or plug, then it's, you know, I can have two chargers. I can charge a non-Tesla. I can charge the Cybertruck. It all works. But because I don't have my PowerShare installed, I'm having to use the level one charger that they gave me. So, but yeah, that thing takes forever. Yeah. We have another question. You guys mentioned that you guys have no interest in the range extender. They're asking, what if it was priced at $10,000? Would that sway you?
No, give away with a slip of thinking that it was around $5,000 that I probably would.
Still, okay. Because
I feel like at $10,000, like, I don't know. You got to outweigh the benefits. You know, that's another $10,000 you're adding to it. Because I initially, if you think about it, when I first saw this truck, I was like, I saw the number like 45 or 49,000. I'm like, oh, this could be, you know, a super, you know, entry level truck. So you tack on those extras, it really it makes it just as expensive as another truck, especially with full self driving and all the other stuff. But yeah, I'd say no.
Okay. I mean, he tried to get you guys to go.
I appreciate
it.
It's a good question.
I think that below the $5,000 price point, I would start to consider what the cubic feet of that bed is worth to me, because the range is not the priority for me necessarily. I haven't been bitten by the range yet or wish that it was more, but I do feel like adding more battery to it, I'm kind of like, I think that I'm just making it heavier and adding more to it to try and make it something else.
Right. And they're saying, well, because it's essentially the max range would go from 340 to 440.
If 470. It says 470 plus. So I think they're thinking they might be able to get a little more out of it.
Interesting. Because it's not quite 50% more, but close to that. But I would be curious to see how that translates to towing. Like, I think that's the biggest question that everyone has is like, extra power for towing, which I think you're right. I think they maybe find a way to like kind of feather how much they're actually using both motors, like on the highway, that'd be interesting. So like maybe they switch it over to like a more like a two-wheel drive kind of setup where what the front motor is like, you know, decreased in power output as you're at speed because you're using the overall inertia more. So you would have to like, get rid of it, regenerative braking at that point, but you could still kind of, you know, use it in a better way that way.
Yeah, so I've been, like I said before on the previous episode, I also just got a Rivian R1S. And when I drive that and I look at the driving dynamic screen, has a really interesting little graphic that shows you which motors are doing the work at which times. So, like, you know, you're at a flat land and you accelerate, you know, you can see all four motors are working. But then when you get about 40 miles an hour, the front two, the front wheel motors are still working, but the back wheel motors drop out. And I just wonder if that's kind of one of those things where engineers at Tesla might be like, all right, now we have the time to look at this. And the dynamics of towing something might play differently in the real world than what we've calculated. Let's see what the driving data is. And then they can pull drive data from everybody who's ever had tow mode enabled and has a Cybertruck. And then there are some refinements there that I just have to wonder. It's like, okay, we transition between the two motors, or we were leaving it in the mode where it was relying on the back motors too much, and we found that it was just doing something, you know, just I feel like there's an engineer nerd in there somewhere who's just being like, wait a second, I feel like we can squeeze some more juice out of this battery.
It's so new. I think you said it right, is that the off-road and towing is completely a new frontier for Tesla, and they're just now figuring it out. So I mean, I think they have the hardware. They're just trying to figure out what's the right way to tune the software for it. And we've already seen actually some of that start to come up. I don't know if we want to talk about that, but with my ringing fiasco, One thing I did notice is when I put it into service mode, that there was some notifications that popped up that was putting up some warnings about kind of hinting to some rear differential lock coming soon, because it was talking about that, and we know for a fact we don't have that yet. But if the service mode is actually start to, like, the software start to talk to itself about that, then maybe it's coming soon.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Oh yeah, yeah. Which a lot of people have been asking for, especially for off-road stuff. Yeah. And that was the first thing that my neighbor and his kid, he's got like a Land Cruiser he takes off-road over here all the time. And yeah, that's the first question he had. He was like, "Wait, can you lock out the back?" Like, not yet, but hopefully soon.
It's coming. It's definitely coming.
Yeah, and I think that just on the diff lockers, and also on the point of what they were bringing up for the price of the what we would be willing to pay for the range extender, I will say this: my ears are open, but Tesla isn't selling anything yet. Like, they're not pitching it. They're not telling it what you can do. It's a bunch of question marks. So at right now, when we pulled the trigger on it, when I saw the price of the range extender, I was like, no, I don't. No thanks. Whatever. At some point, I'm like, okay, if you guys want to start selling range extenders, better tell us what the hell it is, what it does. Yeah. But, you know, like, actually take some of this seriously, because you guys really haven't acknowledged this truck a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah. If anything, I think Heavy D Sparks has sold more Cybertrucks in the last few weeks than Tesla has themselves.
Seriously.
That's the definition of full send.
It's interesting, because I even brought it up. So we had an event this last week where it was a bunch of just engineers for like a conglomerate called SMTA. They had a local chapter of a meeting, got together, and it was funny because we had the truck there and they wanted to like see it, but a lot of them were saying, hey, can we just like lift this up so we can really like get and see how it's really made? So because they were like getting in there to see like where the inner workings and everything. And that's one thing I always kind of personally point out, because of what happened with Heavy D Sparks, is the upper control arm is just one piece of steel like stamped, and it's super thin. I think it's designed for a purpose, but I personally think it's too thin to go heavily off-road. But I don't know. I kind of go back and forth on it, because I feel like the best comparison for the Cybertruck is maybe a Ford Raptor at the moment. Like, out of the box, the capabilities that it can do is probably pretty comparable to the Raptor.
Don't tell Ford guys that.
You're not going to take like a stock F-150 and just go straight to Baja. Like, you're going to ruin that truck. It's not meant for it. The suspension's not ready for it. Like, you're going to break so many OEM parts on that. It's not even funny. So I think that's what Tesla's probably interested in seeing. It's like, okay, what's the line of like, how far can we take OEM to kind of get us that middle ground of like being off-road Baja and then street mock car? You know?
Well, you know what? That's a perfect transition, and you weren't even trying, but I have a... I found something, and I just thought it was pretty funny. I just need to cue it up real quick. There we go.
So, here's why this
one. Yes.
Yep.
This woman gives it that approval. What'd you say last week, Chase?
From the... zero to soccer mom. Yeah, this is definitely full soccer mom.
Yeah,
it's great. Like I said, we've got a 2 year old. I'm pretty sure we actually had that same car seat. So it's great for space. Yeah, I mean, they're rear facing for right now, for obvious reasons. But eventually, when they go front facing, you know, there's the screen in the back. There's plenty of space for a diaper bag or whatever bag in the front. I love it. Like. Even having an F-150 and loving all of the space in the F-150, this takes that and goes to another level.
It really does. You get so much space. You can fit so much in the cabin. Take the bed of the truck and the frunk out of the equation. Just the cabin, you know, underneath the seats, how much leg room you get, that center space up in the front. I mean, to me, it's...
How much room there's underneath the seats as well. Like, that was a lot of space. I remember in my F-150 that a lot of it was taken up by electronics just so they could move the seat back and forth. So a lot of it was like blocked off, but all of this is like, it's up on risers. It's maximizing all that space. I think they're doing a really great job.
100%. 100%. Yeah, well, that's why in my video that I posted this week, I said it's a truck. But when you're sitting in the cabin, in the cab of the truck, you feel like you're in an SUV just because of how much space you get and how comfortable it is. You don't feel like you're in a truck. So, yeah, it's,
I tell all my renters, I'm like, don't necessarily think of it as a truck. Don't, you know, just give it a chance to tell you what it is. You hop in, you drive it around. Because I mean, I haven't driven a lot of trucks, but I have driven enough to feel like, okay, this feels like it's still something else. It's just massive and fast and all other things. So it's cool.
It's really a great vehicle. I wanted to show some accessories or some things that people have done to their Cybertrucks that I think some people would have some interest in. So right here, I'm not sure if you guys seen this on the forum. A gentleman installed an antenna. Mm-hmm. And he says that he was able to reach Europe and Asia and all over the world with this thing. And I know that when I first started my channel, I had a comment of a gentleman that asked me to do something like this because he had interest in it. I just, you know, I don't know enough about it to actually go ahead and do it. But I thought this was pretty interesting. And
he could set up.
Yeah. I wish he would have tapped into the power source up on top of the roof.
Exactly what I was thinking.
But he says that he went inside the...
Yeah, it may have just been like he might have just had the equipment to run off of a 110 power versus tapping into that 48 volt.
Well,
that's
a
massive VHF UHF antenna.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, that's exactly what it is.
That's cool. So my brother's really big into ham as well. Like he's got a I don't know, 40-foot tall repeater at his house because he's out in the middle of nowhere. He's a KB9 JHU if you ever hear him. But yeah, he would geek out about this. I'm actually really excited because I saw someone, I think it was Unplugged Performance, has like a little like Starlink mount that hooks into the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can mount Starlink from the bed. That has me excited because, and it actually makes me want to just get Starlink just for fun, just to have internet when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
You know what? I wish that they would have, or maybe they will, but I wish they would have made that like an option. And I know they didn't give us any options right now. Maybe that'll come. But I think that would have been really cool if there would have been some type of built-in Starlink into the vehicle where you don't have to mount anything anywhere. It was it's built in there. That would have been a really cool move on their part. You know,
it would have been a huge deal for Foundation Series for sure.
Yes,
yeah. Not alone premium connectivity, but yeah, we'll throw in Starlink for you.
Done. Yeah, well, especially since like Starlink just like teamed up with, or they're doing something with T-Mobile to do satellite messaging, I think, or something satellite connection to specific phones that have it capable. That they bounce off Starlink satellites to go to your phones and be like, that would have been amazing. Be like, oh yeah, by the way, your Cybertruck also has a LTE connection that's an MVNO through T-Mobile, but it also works on their Starlink connection too. So there literally is nowhere you can go that won't have a connection.
Yeah, that'd I think that would have been. Did you guys have any issues with LTE? When was this? Last week.
AT&T had that big outage.
Last week. I think it was Thursday of last week. I was in a loaner from Tesla, had no LTE. My wife's S had no LTE. She was freaking out. She thought something was wrong with the car. And she called me in a panic. And then the Cybertruck didn't have LTE. Did you guys experience that or no?
Sounds like an outage. Our truck was out on a rental with a client all last week. So.
Oh. One client for the whole week? Nice.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting that bag.
Doesn't stay there overnight.
It was like half of March right there.
Yeah,
it's just the 1 week.
Jeez, good for you.
Great guy. He's also got a reservation, so
really cool. Nice.
It's like all my renters are reservation holders.
100%
anxious to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this?
Oh, I did see this. Yes, I wanted. Yeah. I totally forgot. I wanted to talk about this. This looks. I guess this is a third party, right?
Yes.
Into the tailgate. Oh, okay. So then you can still tow.
Wilco.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's still towed, and you can have a spare.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. Talk about a smart solution to a...
Right there.
I saw someone that was selling their stock wheels for a Cybertruck this week here local that I was really tempted to like jump on just to have a spare or spares.
Yeah, you have four.
I could have bought all four and then sold the others as spares.
True.
I don't know. I didn't jump on it, but still, it had me very curious. Because I think the spare with Tesla is like 2,500. Or, no, sorry, 1,250, right?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah,
I don't buy tires through Tesla. Bad idea.
Yeah, no, it's they're
20 charge. Yeah, 1,250. Which How comes much? With a, which comes with the you know the a liner so it covers you can put it in the bed, but that's your only option is like basically throwing it in the bed.
Yeah, no, this is a really good option if you know for those that need that spare tire. And it looks kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
And it swings away. So yeah, you could still get into the gate and everything.
And you could still tow. You could do everything you need to do. So this is a cool solution for those that,
yeah,
like that are looking for it.
Does the soccer mom from the previous video, does she need that?
But that's a big question that a lot of people have. They're like, wait, what if you get a flat tire? Like, what are you doing then? And it's like the only answer I have to that is just Tesla's ecosystem. It's like, well, you just call them through the app and then have someone come out and fix it for you.
Or just don't get a flat tire.
Yeah. But the only thing is if you're like overland or like off road, that's where you really have to work concern.
You 100% need a tire with you if you're doing that type of stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. Do you guys want to go to the wrap of the week /
I don't want to. What were they thinking? But fine.
I mean, somebody had to do it, and that's like, pretty much what I said, I think, to you guys.
Did they, though? Did they? I mean, somebody was going to.
It was a matter. It was a matter of time.
Here we go. This is it.
I just want to appreciate that they went the extra mile of not just like putting like Trump across of it, like in like big bold letters. They went Cyber Trump in the actual like Cybertruck lettering.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at, because I did look, because we made some really cool like rent me signs that I actually designed myself to like slap on the outside for advertisement. So I looked into this, and there is someone who recreated that Cybertruck like font.
Mm-hmm.
He's selling it for like a few a few hundred bucks. So
oh sure,
whoever designed this bought that font for a few a few hundred bucks and made Cyber Trump. So I mean, more power to them. Like respect the design.
And for full disclosure, this is not a political statement on our behalf. We're not condemning nor endorsing anybody. This is just we found this and we thought it was something
too,
that
is too perfect.
we had to bring it up and merge both of those segments, so to speak, into wrap of the week. And what were they thinking?
It's the signature that gets me. I just don't understand. Like, it's like this isn't the Walt Disney signature. That's just iconic. It's just his signature.
Dr. Scribbles.
Yeah,
but I will say though, it did cross our minds when we were initially talking about this would have been like January this year, where we were talking to like different people around the neighborhood of like, okay, this is what our plan is. We're going to get the Cybertruck and we're going to do Turo and all this other things. And they were like, all the business ideas get thrown out there. Like, okay, this is interesting. But one of them was actually, what if you find a political candidate that wants to wrap it and then they drive it around for a month? Like, that is kind of a thing. Because, like we said before, it's a driving billboard. Like, the surfaces are completely flat. For the event that we did just this week, we actually just slapped on magnetic like stickers on the outside. And that's super easy to put on something temporary, or you could just wrap it completely. And we've seen quite a few businesses actually do that. There's what is it? I think the pink Cybertrucks are out in LA.
Yep.
Those are out there.
Like every color possible now.
I think they posted that they have three of them now, and I believe they're going to have five. They might have five now. So yeah, five pink. Some like live streaming service or something. Yeah, they're I mean, for those that are using it for that reason, I mean, it's smart.
Yeah,
it's really smart. But I like the clean look. So. Same. What about you, William? I know you talked about possibly wrapping yours. Did anything come from that?
One is not like the other.
Not yet. I'm trying to like see where my heart rests because Chase's wrap is just like the sickest thing ever. But there's also just a part of me that like every time that I see these the piano glossy black on the Cybertruck, I'm like, darker colors suit it so much, and that black one is just, you know, it's just iconic. I feel like because it's funny too, because like you see white, I've seen the yellow and the orange, all these different colors, and I'm like, lighter colors, okay, it looks a little, you know, it looks like a kid just was opening up MS Paint and just went nuts. But when you get into those darker colors, it just has a lot more of a deliberate look to it. So yeah. I'm trying to toy with some ideas because I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do something with it, I still want to do something really kind of eye popping. I originally thought about hiring a mural artist to paint the sides of it. And then we would just like do a preserving coat on the outside just to make sure it's preserved forever and be like, you know, work of art on a work of art. But, haven't pulled the trigger on that yet. I'm still biding my time. I figure it only behooves me to keep the car kind of stock looking, because it seems like a lot of my renters are interested in driving the truck, trying it out, all that kind of stuff, because they're all reservation holders, it seems. So many of them are.
There's a benefit to that for sure.
Yeah, I seen an orange one today. I didn't care.
Was it matte or glossy?
Matte.
Because one of the three trucks that are going to be driving with us this weekend is glossy orange.
Oh, really?
And it looks pretty good. I don't know. It might be me because I showed it to my wife and she's like,
no. Yeah, I seen it driving. We were on the freeway and we were crossing each other's paths, and so I looked and I went, I don't know.
No.
You know, I didn't care for it, but I mean, to each its own, right?
Every lighter color, all of them, they just. They all just look they look like 1980s highlighter colors, like when everything was neon to me. It just reminds me of that so much. Even like, you know, once you get into darker colors, they look good, but anything lighter, it just explodes so much because there's such big, bold, untextured sides to the truck. So you just end this flat side, bam, pink or orange or whatever.
I know we talked about the Wade mode. I wanted to show that before we wrap it up.
Cheers to those guys, man.
Ballsy. I would not do that. But I mean, it's worth saying, like, it's one of those talking points that I always go through with people and I'm trying to explain all the cool things about it. And this is definitely one of them. I'm like, when I put my hand of exactly where you can go in water up to, they're like, what? You know, they don't believe it, but yeah, here you are. Wade mode, essentially, for those wondering, is you can put it into off-road mode and then turn on Wade mode, which will then pressurize the battery for about 10 minutes, and then you're good to go from there. And it's like it's essentially you're hiking your truck to fjord a river essentially, because you could wade through water up to basically the windshield.
I assume that there's like no water incursion inside, because they didn't show like the floorboards or anything if they were taken on water.
I don't think they did. I don't believe it's so, because it does pressurize everything, and they do have it like airtight anyways for the biohazard mode.
So it
would make sense that it would be watertight as well.
It would also make sense if they pressurize it, if they just keep running the air compressor into the cabin to help.
Yeah.
That's the real MVP. Can we?
Yeah, cheers to him. Praise the cameraman. Then he gets hosed.
I mean, this is supposed to be like, what were they thinking? But still, this is... No waiters at all. Like, that just... And it's someone's, like significant other, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
like, thanks, honey.
Hey, honey, go stand in the water, film us.
And you know what's funny is that when you say that, you know, with my channel, every time, you know, I need to film something, I ask my wife, hey, can you help me film this real quick? And you know, she's a trooper and she does it for me, but it's always that kind of like I feel like I'm inconveniencing her, and you know, this significant other just I couldn't convince my wife at all to in that much water.
100% my wife would never walk through water that she couldn't see the bottom.
I know at this point I feel pretty good that my wife would actually do it, but the fact that I know that she would do it is why I wouldn't ask her to, because I know the first time I ask her to do something like that, then it's done, it's over. So I'm going to keep that ace in my sleeve.
That's a good relationship. You want to keep that. Exactly. But still, that's a crazy amount of water that's going through. And I mean, we've seen plenty of videos with like Teslas going, you know, through flood waters before, but this, I think, is interesting. I would be curious to see more testing with this to really see when does it fall apart, when does it break, you know?
Because
we've seen like one-offs with other Teslas, but this is actually a mode that's intended to be used. How did they test it? How far does it go? That'd be my question.
It's pretty cool. And it's a really good video because it's showing people, you know, in, you know, that live where there's hurricanes and you know, massive flooding can happen. I mean, what the truck is able to do. Yeah. And it's important. So, well, did you guys have anything else? Is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about?
Semi-related to water. I don't know if you mentioned it. Have we talked about the windows? The security of the windows?
No, I don't think so.
So, I know it's been around for a while, but the videos of people trying to break into the Cybertrucks in San Francisco, they weren't able to bust open the windows because they're reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
I did see someone put up a video where they tried to break the window with like a baseball, and they were like trying. And then at the end of the video, I thought we talked about it, but at the end of the video, they pulled out one of those like,
oh yes, yeah,
those window breakers,
the glass breakers, yeah,
and they weren't able to break the glass. I think that's an interesting thing, because I think, speaking of water, that's really kind of a safety issue. I feel like that if you for some reason ran off a bridge or something and it ended up in water, what would you do? And that it just raises a lot of concerns.
Wasn't that a thing? Did we? I can't remember if we talked about that last week.
We talked about it, I think, on episode 2.
About like all Teslas are set up where it's like if they detect immersion in water, all the doors immediately unlock and attempt to open, or something like that. Or
I don't remember that.
Or the windows go go down or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That was a thing.
Yeah. At least I think that was either Musk or somebody had responded to something maybe on Twitter and I saw it. But yeah, that was like the response, because they were like, oh, these cars are going to, you know, I wouldn't even know how to get out of my Tesla if I was in a pool or something. And somebody was quick to be like, if it gets in water, it knows to roll the windows down.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I didn't know that.
Because the event recently, someone tried to tell a story that I'm pretty sure is not true about someone drowning in a Cybertruck because of that specific thing. And I'm pretty sure that if that was ever true, it would have been all over the news. We would have heard about it, and everyone would have known.
That would have been everywhere, 100%.
So I'm pretty sure that like my concerns is probably valid, and a lot of other people that they're like, well, what if? And that's kind of turning the stories into a fable at that point. But yeah, it's something to think about. Like, I'd be curious to see, you know, some safety tests coming from Tesla to show some of these capabilities of like the, you know, different one-off cases, like actually just having them just dump a Cybertruck into the water and see what happens. Like having that actual footage to put people at ease would be great.
All right, I know what my next video is going to be.
If we only had a Cybertruck, we can dump into water.
Yeah.
Not
a month from now, we're going to be like, guys, we're trying to tow this 11,000 thing through 3 feet of water in wave mode. Let's go.
If I'm not here next week for episode 5, you guys know why.
We'll play tap.
Tweeting at Elon, be like, my towing capacity is falling when I went wade mode.
Yeah. WTF. Tesla, no future. No demand.
Well, all right, guys. I think it was another good episode. It seems like we're getting more viewers and comments, which is exciting. So thank you to everybody that commented and interacted with us. We appreciate that. And we want to continue to do that throughout all of our episodes. And that's the reason why we're going live now. So we appreciate that. Thank you, William. Thank you, Chase. and get back to it next week.
Awesome. My pleasure. Thanks for listening.
Yep.